Hello and welcome to the X-Files podcast. This is a weekly podcast focusing on the X-Files TV series, which ran from 1993 to 2002, spanning 9 seasons, 202 episodes, 2 feature films, a spin-off series, and a 2016 reboot miniseries. Before I introduce me and my co-host, let me just set things up by saying first, this show will in fact contain spoilers. It is near impossible to talk about a 45-minute TV show at length and not give things away. So we encourage you guys to listen, follow along by watching the shows as we go through them, or, you know, just don't care about spoilers. Second, there are many ways you can listen to us and support the show. One, 22shotsofmoodsandhorror.com. Two, horrorphilia.com. Those are where you can find us and support us on our websites as well as iTunes. Please leave us a rating or a review, and we would very, very much appreciate that. And maybe we'll even do a contest in the future if we start getting some of those. So if you enjoy this podcast, please do those things and check us out on our personal YouTube channels, Double Shot J and The Horror File. So I am JP, podcasting out of Southwest Pennsylvania. And my co-host tonight is the same as always. I know you're probably getting tired of him because he's not very entertaining, but it is The Horror File, Kyle, podcasting out of, where are you from again? South Carolina? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Upstate South Carolina. And I am entertaining, I promise. JP's just being a little cocksucker today and likes talking shit every time we get on this podcast. So, but yeah, I am podcasting out of upstate South Carolina. I am at The Horror File on YouTube, and I have an Instagram as well, at The Horror File on Instagram.
Whoa, plug in an Instagram. I don't think you've done that yet.
I don't really post a lot to my Horror File Instagram. I got like 1,500 followers on there, but I don't really post a whole lot on there, just because I'm lazy like that. But generally on my Instagram, all I post is, usually just horror posters with a little synopsis of the movie. Like if I'm watching a movie, I'll post like the poster for it and like a little synopsis. But yeah, other than that, yeah, we're coming back with another X-Files episode today. We are actually, like I said the last time, we're rolling through these things, man. Like
it is actually pretty impressive when I really look at the list and we're on episode 10. I mean, we're near halfway through the first season, and that's pretty crazy to think we've been doing this, you know, give or take 10 weeks now. That's nuts that we've even stuck with it this long.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, if you think about it, we record one a week, and we are pretty much almost 3 months in. I mean, which doesn't feel like that, but apparently we've been doing this for close to 3 months. But yeah, I mean, it's going along. I mean, I'm having a good time with it. I know we do have some listeners out there that have been following along with us. So so yeah, I appreciate you guys listening, everybody listening in. So yeah, you want to go ahead and we'll jump into the episode and kind of get things rolling?
Yeah, this is a regular mythology story arc, alien mythology arc here, episode number 10. So this is the first main story episode since episode 2. So it's been quite a while. We've had a lot of Monster of the Week episodes, so this is the first one back.
Yeah, so what JP means by this is an episode where there is a storyline in the episode that really doesn't have anything to do with the underlying storyline of the X-Files. I mean, it is a an X-File that they're looking at pretty much like every episode, but beyond that, there is some things that happen in the episode that go along with the rest of the series, that kind of follow through with the rest of the series. So, and we'll kind of get into what those things are. There's really not much in this episode as far as that goes, but we will get into that in a little bit. But today's episode, we're on season 1, episode 10. This episode is called Fallen Angel. It originally aired on November 19th, 1993. This was directed by Larry Shaw, who, I don't know, did you see anything that he's done recently? Or if he has done
anything? He has 56 director credits, and most of them, if not nearly all of them, are TV. So he's done some episodes of 21 Jump Street. He's done the TV show Life Goes On, Parker Lewis Can't Lose. I've never heard of any of these.
Yeah, that's all I hear. He's done Desperate Housewives, Star Trek The Next Generation, which is another 90s TV show. He did some Lizzie McGuire episodes, which is kind of funny.
He did one episode of Lizzie McGuire. One thing that he has done that I have seen is called Cadet Kelly, which was a TV movie on the Disney Channel in 2002, starring Hilary Duff and Christy Carlson Romano, who, when I was at you know, that tender young age of whatever, I had crushes on both of them. So I watched a lot of Disney Channel. And Sean Ashmore, bringing it back to horror, Sean Ashmore was actually in it as the young Brad. So,
That's interesting.
Yeah, Lizzie McGuire gets sent to military school, and she's like a pretty girl, like you know, and she's not hardcore enough for military, but she gets kind of, she fits in eventually.
Listen to you giving us the synopsis of this fucking Disney movie from 2002. I was gonna say, good god, JP.
But seriously, that's like the most notable thing he's done since.
Our next episode, guys, is gonna be a podcast on Cadet Kelly from 2002, and JP's hosting this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. I'm looking at his IMDb page right now, and he has done a crap ton of stuff. Mostly, like you said, TV. He did a lot of Star Trek stuff, which is pretty cool. I love some Star Trek: The Next Generation. I know everybody else, a lot of people don't like it, but I'm a big Star Trek: The Next Gen fan. But that's cool. So Larry Shaw, he directed it, and we actually are going to go back to some writers that actually have written previous episodes already. Howard Gordon and Alex Gonza.
I believe this is their third episode as a duo, and these are the same guys that we've talked about before. They've done X-Files, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 24. Howard Gordon has really just stuck to TV most of the time, and he's still working today. But mainly as a writer, not really much in the directing actually zero in the directing category. So he has not even directed anything. And they are a writing duo because they have done also 24 together and stuff like that. So they continue to work together as time went on.
They must have some kind of chemistry with us as being writers. I know I saw right at the beginning of the episode when it was coming on, when I was watching it for this podcast, I did see where I believe they co-executive produced this episode as well as wrote it. So they seem like they have a really big kind of presence in the first season of this show, which, you know, like I've said before, I am a huge X-Files fan. I have watched these episodes over and over before. This is the first time in a while I've actually revisited the first season. I can pretty much start the show anywhere in the series, and myself can pick up, you know, what's going on. But it seems like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, specific presences in this first season that they have going on. So it's pretty cool. And I didn't know who directed these episodes. I didn't know who wrote these episodes. So I'm learning stuff as we're going along as well. So it's kind of cool to see. But yeah, you want to – I guess we usually get into viewership around this time.
Yeah, so this episode was aired in November of 1993, November 19th to be exact. And the viewership has actually dropped again. So the premiere was 12 million viewers, and then it kind of floated around 11 for a while. And, you know, episode 6, it actually dropped down to 8.8 million. And this one, actually, which is at now episode 10, has also dropped to 8.8. So this ties for the least viewed episode at 8.8 million. And I think that goes to my theory, man. What did I say last week? Space was a bad episode. And what happened the week right after?
That's
a
what I was
drop off in viewers.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I was going to say Space sucked big balls, big fucking hairy balls. And people were like, okay, I'm done with this bullshit. Like, I would even be like that. I would be like, okay, you know, no matter what the show was, if I saw an episode that was like so bad that I was like questioning why I'm even watching this series, I wouldn't watch the next episode because I would just expect it to be just as bad, if not worse, than the episode prior. So
Listen, dude, there is very few things that you can do to make me stop watching a show once I start. And Space, I probably would have. Like, the only show I could think about where I actually stopped watching because it was pissing me off too bad was Lost. And I've always wanted to revisit and finish Lost, but the show was just getting too convoluted for me, and I was actually getting mad. Dexter, yeah. I even stuck through, even though it was really pissing me off.
That's funny that you said that, because the minute you started talking about TV shows that you haven't finished, the first two that came to my mind were Lost and Dexter. Like, I remember I got through about three seasons of Lost, and
it was amazing, like, right? The first, like, three seasons, or the first, like, two seasons were so good.
But then it just kind of got, like, repetitive in a way, and I was like, let me just kind of pause on this. The same with Dexter. Dexter, I was, like, super, like, into. I was like, this is a badass show. And then I had so much other things I needed to watch and wanted to see. Mm-hmm. I just kind of put it down and never went back to it, which kind of sad to me because I know it's a really good show. But that's kind of funny that you say that. Yeah, I was thinking about the exact same
Those would be interesting to talk about at length as well, I think.
Dexter's, of course, yeah, Dexter definitely. Even Lost, too. Lost is a little, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff going on in that show. Like, it's very detail-oriented. Dexter's kind of like, almost like the X-Files, where you know, things are going on, and, you know. But yeah, I guess we can get into the episode, kind of jump into it. We're kind of rambling on here about Dexter and Lost. We don't want to get into that conversation. So yeah, this is going to be season 1, episode 10, Fallen Angel. Like I said, this is, or like me and JP were saying, this is kind of like a, you know, a story in X-File with some underlying meaning to the specific storyline of this series. So to kind of start out the episode, we're kind of open up. We're in Wisconsin. You see a, you know, what looks like a forest fire, or like there's a fire in the woods. We can't really, you can't really tell at the first part what it is. There's a forest fire in the woods. There's a deputy that kind of pulls up, like a sheriff. He ends up calling for help because he's like, hey, we got a fire in the woods. We need help out here. And the military is kind of monitoring this. You could tell that they see that there was some kind of unidentified object flying around, and it crashes. And then the main military guy at the beginning of the episode calls for a code. He states that there's a fallen angel and tells people that are working at the base, the people that actually identified it on the scanners, that he just thinks it was a meteorite. But he actually goes kind of off to the side and calls for help. He calls this code out and says it's top secret. It's a fallen angel. We need to get this taken care of. Kind of cuts back to the deputy. He's walking through the woods at this point, and all of a sudden you see this kind of ghostly figure running around in the woods. You can't tell what it is. It's kind of like, just invisible, kind of clear. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it kind of just jumps at the sheriff, and he screams. And that's the beginning of the episode.
That is what the TV people call the cold open.
Cold open, exactly. Yeah, it's this is a familiar theme throughout this entire series. It happens every single episode. So the ghostly figure jumps to the sheriff. The intro plays the X-Files theme, just like I always tell you guys.
I'm still not sick of it yet. The intro theme. I thought I would be by now. Like, I think that just to bring it back one more time to Dexter, that one I never really got sick of either, which is weird.
Well, I will say this as well. I never got sick of the X-Files theme throughout the whole series. It's kind of like, and I know, may not be a lot of people that like Star Trek, but most of all the Star Trek series, which is cool because a lot of the people that were on the X-Files that wrote for the X-Files, and this is something I never really brought up until we saw that, the director directed some Star Trek episodes. A lot of the directors and writers for the X-Files did do series for Star Trek because it was around the same time frame when we had Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek The Next Generation, and Star Trek Voyager, three series with 9 seasons apiece, or 7 seasons apiece, that was in the 90s as well, the same time frame as X-Files. So they were kind of mix-matching. They're on the same – some of them were on the same network as X-Files as well. So they're mix-matching directors and writers and stuff. But, yeah, the actual openings for those series, they never got old to me. They were just really good, kind of classical.
It really does set the mood, I thought I might get sick of it, but I haven't yet. It really does set the mood.
Well, the thing with the X-Files is it gives you that creepy feeling right after you see the cold open, and it just you're kind of like, okay, I got to watch the rest of this. So, but yeah, when it opens back up after the intro plays, the military is evacuating the town that this fire or this what they think or what Mulder ends up finding out, or not finding out but thinking, is it's a UFO possibly that crashed. So the military starts kind of evacuating this town that has this kind of fire, this kind of catastrophe happen. And then it kind of cuts back and you see Mulder talking to, you're not really sure at first who it is, and it ends up being Deep Throat, which is kind of where we're talking about the underlying theme to these episodes, or the underlying not theme, but the underlying storyline. Right now within the first couple episodes, it's the Deep Throat thing because he's a reoccurring character. He's not in most of the episodes, but we can definitely tell he works high up in the government, and he does like Mulder. He seems like, for the most part, he likes Mulder. He tells Mulder things. So Mulder's talking to Deep Throat about how the military is going to sanitize the crash site. Site, and Deep Throat's kind of telling him, you got this amount of time before they get rid of whatever happened there. You want to go look and find out what happened. So obviously Mulder is super interested. He's like, you know, I got to go see what the fuck happens at this crash site. And this scene that happens in this episode, the next scene with Mulder, it was really, really cool to see, in my opinion. I don't know about JP, but seeing him kind of like stealth around, kind of like an agent or something like that, or like James Bond, he's stealthing around in the woods where this crash is. He has this like black leather jacket on and this book bag, and he is literally being stealthy as fuck. Like, I don't know how, and this is one of the things I even put here. I don't know how he ended up holding on to that military truck and like. It drove up into the camp where all these military guys are, and nobody ever saw him. I was just
honestly, I kind of fell asleep watching this episode at around that point, and then I rewatched it. So I did notice something. It is weird that, you know, he drops out, you know, goes around the back, and like right where the door would be for the driver, like. He's just like kind of there. Like you would think that wouldn't really
work. There would be all kinds of people there.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't know. It makes you think it's definitely like TV.
To kind of put a visual on this, I mean, think about an entire military like operation going on. This truck, this military truck, Mulder's apparently underneath it hanging on. It pulls up in the middle of this military site where all these tents are and stuff, and Mulder just kind of creeps out from underneath it and goes around to the driver's side, and it's in the middle of everything, and no one sees him. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's very I don't know about unrealistic, but it's very kind of makes you think. You're like, what, you know, kind of what's going on? But yeah, he's sneaking around. He's taking pictures. He ends up finding the crash site, which looks like it's a crash. Something crashed there, like a airplane or like a helicopter or something. We can't really tell. And there's a bunch of men in hazmat suits, basically blowing, like torching this crash site. They're just using torches and kind of torching it and blowing things away, trying to get rid of the evidence is what it seems like to me. Mulder starts taking pictures of. You know, of the crash site, and all of a sudden out of nowhere this military guy comes up behind him and hits him in the head with a rifle, and they put him in it looks like a temporary jail almost at the base, like the military jail. He's locked up, and right next door to him, or right next to him, there is a guy with a that basically says he's with a group that kind of investigate paranormal, you know, certain paranormal things as well.
Yeah, and do you know who this guy was?
Mm-mm.
Me neither, but I liked him.
Yeah, his actual name. I'm trying to see. Oh, his name was Max in the episode.
Okay.
So he works for this like group that's kind of like you know, kind of like they work on the X-Files, but they kind of investigate things, paranormal things. And he seems like he knows who Mulder is. He's kind of asking Mulder questions about this and saying, yeah, you don't think that this is a, you know, you think that this is something more than what it is. And Mulder kind of is looking at him and. Kind of doesn't really say much to him because he doesn't really know who he is. And then Scully walks in, you know, they go to sleep. Scully walks in and says that, you know, she's trying to tell Mulder this is like a downed Libyan plane that was carrying a nuclear warhead. Mulder's like, yeah, you really believe that? Kind of like smirking at her like, yeah, there's no way you believe that. And, you know, Scully, this is kind of where she comes in, and you're seeing that she's kind of doubting things again because Mulder knows what's going on. And, you know, Scully's like, doesn't. So or she probably does but doesn't want to believe it. So at this point you kind of start to see scenes of this thing running around in this area. It's like a, I can't really explain what this thing looks like. It's like a clear ghostly figure almost.
Yeah, kind of just like, I don't know. What I would say it is maybe like a what you would consider like invisible but not invisible, you know what I mean? Like a predator type invisible.
Yeah,
or something.
It's almost like the predator thing. Like when the predator goes invisible and he's walking around, that's what it looks like to me, I guess. You see it running around this crash site, and they end up back at Mulder and Scully's hotel room. Max ends up breaking into Mulder's hotel room and digging around. And, you know, Mulder's like, what the hell are you doing in here? He's like, you're the famous Mulder. You know, I read all your stuff, you know, all your articles, blah, blah, blah. They kind of get you kind of get interested in kind of Max at this point because he seems like he's been following Mulder's career. He knows a lot about Mulder. Mulder's kind of skeptical about it. But Max brings him in. into his camper, brings Mulder and Scully into his camper, and lets them listen to a recording from the crash a few nights ago with these people yelling and that sheriff yelling. And they kind of get interest, and they're kind of like, you know, they're lucky. Mulder and Scully feel – you could tell they feel lucky that Max was listening to this recording and let them listen to it. We're about halfway through the episode at this point. You know, some things go down at this point where, you know, they go and they meet up with the sheriff's wife, the one that at the beginning of the episode that kind of got taken over or started yelling. And she lets them know that the government's holding the body of the sheriff and not letting – her bury him, basically, which is kind of an odd thing for the government to be doing, because they're not allowed to do that. You know, they end up at this doctor, Mulder and Scully end up at this doctor's office, or like this hospital where this doctor is, and he's the military. All these military guys come in and they're completely burnt. Basically, what happened was the military went out there looking for this thing again. The thing ended up burning, or like, you know, pretty much 90% of three or four of these military guys' bodies, burning them. They come in. This doctor is examining them. Mulder and Scully are at the hospital.
What did you think of that effects, like the gore-wise?
I actually thought the burn, like seeing the victims be burned, like the actual burns on their bodies, it looked pretty decent. It didn't look bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it looked like burns to me necessarily, but it definitely looked like it hurt. You know, it looked brutal for TV. And there's actually one scene where it shows it, and then it cuts. Obviously, that's where a commercial would be. And then as soon as it comes back, that's the first image you see. And I liked that they did that. I could kind of put myself in, you know, in the time where it would be on TV and wait for that commercial to come back and then see that image. And as a kid, I mean, you know, that's something that if you're a kid and you walk through the hallway or something and your parents are watching The X-Files and you just see that, like, image – like, that's going to make you afraid of the X-Files.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it's easy to see some. And even, I think the main thing that made me afraid of the X-Files when I was younger was the theme. Like, I always heard that theme, and I was like, oh, shit, I should probably not go in the other room and watch that. So, but yeah, it was pretty – I mean, for the most part, for it being, like, we're in 1993? Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that bad of effects. I mean, it was pretty decent, so but yeah, to kind of sum up the ending of this episode, Mulder actually gets kicked out of this hospital. Scully's told to stay and help these men, these burn victims. Mulder ends up going to Max's trailer where he's having a seizure, and notices that there's a strange marking behind Max's ear, which is similar to some other alien abductees that have this similar marking that he has pictures of. And they also notice that, you know, the military notices that there's another craft that's hovering over another town in Wisconsin. So got a couple of things going on here. We got some burn victims at this hospital. Scully's helping the military guys that got burned by this entity. We got Max that had a seizure, and the Mulder finds out he has this weird marking behind his ear. Plus the military notices there's another, you know, spacecraft hovering over the town. You know, they end up finding out, you know, Max goes to sleep after he has his little seizure. He ends up leaving, and Mulder finds out that he actually is trespassing on the crash site, or near the crash site. You know, Max goes out to this crash site. He's being kind of – what happens is he's being kind of abducted by aliens. He's being basically the host for something going on with these aliens. We don't really know what the main goal is of these aliens. It doesn't honestly tell you in this episode what the main goal of these aliens are, which is kind of a bummer in my opinion, because you don't really understand why Max is doing this or what he's doing. He's just basically a host for these aliens. He goes over to the crash site. And you think he's trying to, like, kill some of the military people, because he does he burns two of the military people when he gets there. And he keeps saying that he's scared. He keeps telling Mulder that Mulder, you know, rolls up on him. He's in this, like, I guess it's like a house or like a shed. And he keeps telling Mulder that he's scared, and, you know, that he doesn't want to get taken away. Mulder kind of walks away from him and comes back to him, and he's hovering in midair. Max is just hovering in midair, which obviously has something to do with this other spacecraft that's hovering over the town. It's like got him in mid-flight, got him in the air, kind of hovering, and Max just disappears. So Max is basically, you know, to sum up Max's character, he ends up he's like an enthusiast, like a UFO enthusiast, like Mulder is. Mm-hmm. Mulder ends up
we ran into another one of those early on in the show. I can't remember, but they always kind of remind me of like super fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what he is. I mean, he likes Mulder's career. He's trying to do similar things to the X-Files. Then Mulder finds out he was a previous abductee, which Max didn't even seem like he knew.
Yeah,
And now he is abducted at the end of this episode by aliens again for really, honestly, no apparent reason. We really don't know why. Like, that's the bummer about this episode a little bit is we're not really sure why these things are going on. We just know that they are, and the government's trying to cover them up.
There was a line earlier in the episode, I think, where I think Scully might have asked him why would aliens do something, and he said like, why do we operate on? I forget what he said. It was something that like kind of answered like that question a little bit, like why? It's just like why not? You know, why do people? What did he say? Do you remember?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the exact.
It was like why do people? You know, use lab rats or it was something like that, or like, you know,
yeah,
do experiments on animals or something. I forget what it was. I wish I would have wrote it down.
Basically like hinting at that, you know, they're abducting these people to use them to you know, fund their technology or their existence to kind of find out, you know, kind of how we are, kind of like you said, like lab rats or something like that. So that's kind of the underlying thing with these alien episodes. To end the episode, Mulder and Scully had to go back to the FBI because Mulder actually did all this stuff in this episode outside of the FBI's jurisdiction, and they were going to get kicked off the X-Files. They wanted to basically fire Mulder. And the episode ends where Scully's in front of the FBI, in front of the head of the FBI is kind of defending Mulder, and Mulder goes in there and starts defending himself, telling them that the government has no jurisdiction over the truth. Which is really pivotal, kind of a pivotal thing that he says in this episode. You know, the government can hide all these things. They can deny that I see these things, but they have no jurisdiction over the truth.
Yeah, this was a really intense scene. I really liked it. I thought that it was cool to see Mulder like really stand up for what he believed in.
Yeah, he really does in the entire series. Like, he just doesn't give a shit. He doesn't believe anything that anybody has to say. He's very headstrong. He doesn't believe a damn thing that the government has to say. And, you know, he lets Scully know all this, and he let them know that in this episode. And the episode ends, the last scene that you see is Deep Throat. He's standing outside of the FBI after Mulder goes in there and kind of tells off the heads of the FBI. And the head of the FBI, or I don't know if he's the head, but he's one of the higher up guys in the FBI. He wanted to get rid of Mulder. He wanted Mulder fired, and he stated that he knows too much. Basically Deep Throat says, we want Mulder to stay working for the FBI. We do not want him fired because he does know too much, and we would rather have him in the Bureau than in the wrong hands, which is another pivotal kind of statement for the series. The FBI is using Mulder as almost a pawn. They know that he knows all this and he believes all this, but they don't want to let him go because if he gets into the wrong hands meaning if he goes somewhere else, you know, outside of the FBI and starts telling them all this stuff, they could have a problem. So that's kind of where we're at. That's the end of the episode. And that would end Fallen Angel. So.
Yeah. So there's not much trivia for this episode. But one thing is Max's cap that he's wearing, the NICAP cap. He mentions that. I forget what it stands for, but it's like something alien something, you know. And that appears in the episode Beyond the Sea. So we see that cap again, which is pretty cool. Interesting. Also, this episode was probably inspired by Predator, which I'm just reading that now. And the alien was deliberately made invisible in order to be more scary to the audience. Chris Carter went saying that what you don't see is always scarier than what you do see. And that's an age-old horror thing that a lot of people say. And it rings true most of the time that what's in your head is often more scary than what you see. That's why a lot of reveals in horror can be very disappointing. So that's pretty cool. And one of the things the casting director also said that casting Scott Bellis as Max was probably his most proudest find in casting the show, saying that he just knocked their socks off. So that's pretty interesting.
What character was it that knocked the socks off?
The character of Max.
Oh, Max.
Yeah.
Oh,
so when he casted Max, the actor who played Max, he was just he looks back as that's one of his favorite finds in this series.
I was looking up some kind of trivia on his character. His name's Scott Bellis. He is a Vancouver actor, director, and theater instructor. It says he's the founding member and an artistic associate at the Bard on the Beach Shakespeare Festival, where he has played many major roles in over 24 productions. And then it says he instructs. I guess he's a teacher at Studio 58, which I'm assuming is like a acting studio or something in Vancouver. And it says he's been on The X-Files, The Dead Zone, and MacGyver. So that's pretty interesting. He hasn't really done much as far as acting goes. I guess he's just an instructor now, but that's pretty cool to know.
Yeah, you know, honestly, this episode, you want to go and get into... Actually, there's one more bit of trivia, and it's not much, but this was the first time the line "Trust no one" was referenced.
Huh, that's interesting.
So yeah, do you want to get into tiers?
Yeah, let's do tiers. Do you want to start?
Yeah, so this one to me, it was decent. Nothing super amazing. It always is nice to see a little bit more of what's really going on. I thought that the laser fence thing that they had was cool in its concept, but kind of really didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It just seemed kind of silly that there would be like this fence guarding the world. I don't know.
It's kind of weird. The weird thing about it is whenever that thing ran through the damn fence, it didn't even like set anything off. So I don't really understand what the whole point of that was either.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, there was some silly stuff in it, but to me it was a fun episode. It's nice to always learn a little bit more. It's just little nuggets here and there. It really kind of was a lot of filler for me. I love the stuff with Max, though, and I love the final scenes where I like that Mulder stood up for him, and then I felt like them kind of answering the question, like, why don't they just get rid of Mulder, you know, kind of was answered, and I like that about it. You know, it's like, because he's more dangerous when he's not in our sights than when he is in our sights. So I thought that was definitely an important thing to answer, because I was starting to wonder that myself.
Yeah, and it did answer that pretty well at the end of the episode there. So, I mean, I think, like I was saying, that end of the episode was kind of pivotal for, you know, future, much, much farther future episodes. So, pretty interesting.
Yeah, so my tier rating is just going to be a mid-tier rating on this one. It's just a middle-style episode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much right there with you. I mean, I was leaning toward mid to high, not because of the content of the episode mainly, other than the content of the underlying theme of the episode, like as far as like the underlying storyline. But I am going to go with a mid tier on this as well. I found the actual episode to be kind of lackluster and boring, to be honest with you. It wasn't as boring as the space episode, but I just didn't really care too much for the concept of the episode. I thought it was kind of dumb. The main reason why I thought it was dumb is because it didn't really explain much of it. Like, I mean, they didn't really kind of go into how, you know, what was going on with these supposed predators or whatever you want to call them, these weird figures. Didn't go into why the military really, really had a huge involvement with covering it up, other than they didn't want it to get out, which it just didn't really explain a whole lot. Like, it kind of left a lot to the viewer's imagination, which was cool. But at the same time, I just thought it was kind of like thrown together. It wasn't really that great. But it was still entertaining. It definitely kept me wanting to see what happened at the end. And the whole underlying storyline thing really, really kind of made the episode at the end, with the whole Mulder being in front of the FBI heads. That was the best scene in the episode, was that ending scene, in my opinion. So yeah, I'd say mid-tier episode. Hopefully we'll get another high tier one here very soon, I'm hoping.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool, the mid tier. Yeah, I mean, every episode can't be a high tier. I'm looking forward to see where the series goes. I have a feeling that just based on my kind of what I've seen so far, I have a feeling that I am going to prefer the Monster of the Week episodes to the sort of main storyline episodes, at least right now.
Yeah.
But hopefully, I'm not really sure what's coming up. I know that the next few episodes, I think I stopped at episode 12, so I had not seen anything after episode 12, so that's what I'm most excited to get to. So.
Yeah, and I will tell you this, and as a person that's seen this series several times, the first probably few seasons of the show, the main story arc of the whole series, you won't get a lot of that. You're going to get just about, you know, as much as you're getting now. but toward the ending of this series, like toward the last few seasons, like the last four, you know, three or four seasons, a lot of it is main story arc. A lot of it's just main story to the X-Files. You get a lot of information those last seasons, and those are the seasons that are very, very pivotal in the series. But, you know, this first couple of seasons are fun. They're new. They're interesting. It's cool to see these Monster of the Week ones. But I always tell people that get into this show, don't judge the first two seasons of this show off the rest of the show. The rest of the show, I mean, the first two seasons, there's good and bad episodes, just like the rest of the show, but the first two seasons are very much a slow burner compared to the rest of the series. So I always tell people to give it a couple of seasons, and then, you know, that's when a lot of people start getting into it hardcore. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the episode, for this episode. What is next week's episode called, JP?
I believe it is Eve, but I'm not sure. Yeah, it's Eve. Eve okay. is the next week's episode, which I don't remember at all, so cool. I'll have to check that out next week.
Yeah, well, hopefully you guys will check it out next week. We appreciate everybody watching. Do you want to plug anything before we leave?
Yeah, the only thing I want to plug is check out our Ash vs. Evil Dead podcast.
Yeah. Definitely check that out. If you guys aren't familiar with it, if this is the first time you're hearing about it, Ash vs. the Evil Dead is a TV series that was based off of the Evil Dead series from the 80s. Was Army of Darkness 90s or was that 80s? I can't remember.
I think it was the 90s.
90s. So 80s, 90s, Evil Dead series. It doesn't really have anything to do with Army of Darkness at all anyway, but it is a TV show that was based off that. It's still on the air. It just came on just a couple of months ago. We are covering the first season episode by episode, giving spoilers and kind of commentary on each episode. Those episodes or those podcasts are very short.
Yeah, we're having fun with it too, though.
Yeah, within the 15-30 minute range, because each episode is 30 minutes. So, you know, they're really fun to listen to, so check those out. Those are also on iTunes, I believe.
Yes, they are.
So those are on iTunes. They're also on our YouTube channels, Double Shot J and The Horror File. So check them out. Let us know what you guys think. Let us know what you think of, you know, the X-Files episodes we've been kind of covering. But other than that, I think we're good, man.
Yep. We'll see you guys next week with another episode. That is Kyle. I am JP. We are done. We're through. We're out.
Peace.